In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
I love what I do. I love college coaching, and I love coaching it at Duke. And I wasn't looking to go, but when this offer came, I thought that it's something I should look at.
A lot of sad people down in Duke. I know that.
All rise and welcome to Basketball Court, the only jurisdiction in the United States where we investigate what would have happened in fake basketball history if things had been differently in real basketball history. I'm the judge here in Basketball Court, the Honorable Peter Andrews. Counsel, I'd like to have everyone state their appearances for the record, please.
Wait, state their appearances. What is that, like a
Jesus? This is a lawyer thing? Name. Just say your name.
Say your name.
Oh, okay. I'm Miles. What's up, guys?
And I'm Sam, and I know some lawyer speaks.
Yeah, you know, I this is actually the third night in the row that I've been judging, because I've been judging first year oral arguments at school, so I'm like very in the judge mindset. So you'll be getting a slightly more formal version of me as judge today, I think. So, be forewarned.
Are we better or worse than the first years you have to judge in moot court or whatever you're doing?
I mean, are you better at...
Are we better at arguing our fake arguments versus them arguing their fake arguments?
I would say no, because they've been training for like 8 months to be good at it, and you guys kind of just bullshit.
It's been like eight months since our last episode, so.
That being said, you guys are a lot funnier. So.
If you like had to throw in like a sliding scale, though, like if the grades were weighted.
Like, you know, like, if we put it on the curve of Basketball Court, you mean, basically?
Yeah, because like if they either didn't try at all, or if we tried really hard for 8 months, who would you think would have the better argument?
Well, is the subject matter of the argument basketball, or is it the Fair Housing Act? Because I think that'll really make the difference.
Either way, whichever one you feel like answering.
I think in basketball you guys would get there. I really do. I believe in you.
That means a lot to me, personally.
It does mean a lot. Thank you, Judge.
You're very welcome. So we have, as always, another great argument here today in Basketball Court, which I'll say the tagline. There are many courts in the United States, but there is only one Basketball Court. Pause for laughter.
We'll let it in post.
We'll call the case. So let's hear the little sound clip that Sam has prepared. What I live for,
basketball, beats and bras. From Italy to the from all the players in high school that I've seen, I thought Kobe, as a high school player, was the best player. He's an assassin. I think he's extremely coachable. A lot of times he'll tell you, like, I'm ready to do this before you even say it, because he's so darn smart. That guy can play. Yeah, he can play. And if he's healthy, he should be playing.
So I hope everyone could tell from the voices involved there, from the content, that we're talking about Coach K this episode, in our episode that was supposed to be released during March Madness, but is just as timely now that the Lakers season ended tonight. In the third worst record in the league. So we're flashing back this week to 2004, the Lakers riding high off yet another championship. Phil Jackson announces his retirement, and the Lakers go after a big splashy signing, and that's Coach Mike Krzyzewski of the Duke Blue Devils. And he nearly takes the job. There's a 5-year, $40 million offer on the table from the Lakers. After a lot of soul searching, he decides that he would rather not risk his legacy and go try to coach Kobe Bryant. This is probably the right move, or is it? Let's find out today in Basketball Court. All right, counsel, if you're ready, let's start this week with Miles.
I am ready. Thank you, Judge. And let me just say that your little opening there, like, was it the right move for Coach K to stay at Duke? It definitely was. It's not even close. He is the biggest loser in this alternate timeline pretty easily. Ultimately proving that just because you can coach college basketball doesn't mean that you can coach in the pros, which I think, like, is something that is taken for granted. But this is 2004, which means this is even before Coach K's experience with the 08 Olympic team. And after Shaq leaves and after Phil leaves, like, this is a pretty high-pressure situation for anybody that's going to step in, let alone someone who has the sort of profile that Coach K does. So I just said, for the sake of argument, the Lakers front office gives him 2 to 3 years to kind of show, like, the direction where he wants to take the team and so sort of any type of notable improvements. I'm also assuming, though, in this timeline, they don't make the Pau Gasol trade. I don't think that, Coach K, I think the what Phil did in terms of, like, rebuilding that Lakers team was, like, give them a lot of dynamism, and instead of running everything through Kobe, he went out and got Pau, had a really balanced offense. I don't think Coach K does that, and I think he really does reorient the entire offense around Kobe. So those 2007, 2008, 2009 teams end up looking a lot like the Smush Parker LA Lakers, and a lot less like the Andrew Bynum and Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom Lakers, which is too bad, so, because they're not.
I just want to. You dropped a Smush Parker reference. Do you know, was Smush his real name? I've always been really perplexed on this point.
No, Smush was not his real name. I think his real name was, like, James or something.
Yeah, I wonder what happens in your life to adopt Smush as your nickname. That
his real name, was William Henry Parker.
Maybe he was named after the president. President Smush Harrison.
If you can name what country he currently plays in without Googling it, I will cede victory in the episode.
I have not Googled it. I mean, I've Googled his name to see what his real name was, but it's not showing me what country he's playing in. Do I get it?
Yeah, you get one guess.
I get one guess
for victory in the episode. Where does Smush Parker play basketball in 2017?
Liechtenstein.
It wasn't a bad guess.
I was going to say, I would have guessed Lithuania.
It's Tunisia.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
You're right. I would never have guessed that.
Etoile Sportive de Rades, I think you say it.
Yeah, I would never guess that.
Do we think he's any good still?
Anyway, no way. Shout out to Smush Parker.
How old is he at this point? He's born in 81, which makes him
36.
Jeez.
Yo, Smush, if you're listening to this episode, tweet us. we'll have you on next week. We'll talk about, you know, what if your career had been a lot better.
Damn. Right. Tunisia. Tunisian basketball.
All right, Miles, I interrupted you. Keep going.
No, no worries. Yeah.
We all learned something together.
So the Lakers aren't terrible, right? But they're kind of like this middling team in the West, which means we don't get that rematch in the 08 finals with the Celtics and Lakers. And instead, I have the Celtics beating the Hornets in 7 games in that finals, which is great for Chris Paul because he never has to endure that I've never been to a conference finals curse that is currently plaguing him. And then the next year, I still have the Lakers. Like, they're okay. They're like this okay team. Mike Krzyzewski has gotten a team that plays pretty solidly on defense, but they still don't quite have the pieces to put it together offensively to really be competitive out West. And at this point, it's now, this is year four of the experiment. And this is looking like a Coach K pipe dream more than anything else. They're just not as balanced without Powell, without Bynum. I have them making the playoffs as a 7 seed and getting knocked off by the Mavericks. One second, guys.
Like a little...
You can play the rest of that Kobe song. Kobe rap song. That I use for the drop. Go on.
Sorry, I'm back. And I actually have Coach K fired this offseason.
Oh, shit. So
this is the 2009 offseason. I have him returning to Duke. He is hurt, overheard by some reporters as joking that Kobe wouldn't have been as good enough to play for Duke in the late 90s had he not gone straight out of Lower Merion.
Okay, question about the Duke side of this real quick. So,
yeah.
Who does Duke have as their coach for 4 years? And does that guy just willingly step aside when Coach K wants to come back?
So the thing is, that guy definitely does step aside. I mean, because it's Coach K. They've named Cameron Indoor after this guy. And who is the... I just have the assistant for his head assistant coach to take over. I'm blanking on his name. Johnny Dawkins.
In real life, Stanford's Johnny Dawkins until he got fired.
Bingo. He was the heir to Coach K, and then Coach K never left, and so he bounced.
Although it could have been Kobe's agent. Could have taken over for the job, too.
That would never happen.
Oh, no, that would, even for basketball court, that's too ridiculous. But yeah, so that next year I have Duke going into the tournament as a 2 seed. While this has been going on, by the way, I actually don't think Duke plummets as far as they would have, or as perhaps some people would have expected. I don't think they're as good because I think, you know, after a while you just get used to the same coach, the kind of the same system. But people still want to go to Duke for the basketball. I mean, people still, they're still able to attract, while not elite level talent, it's not like they're getting scrubs to go play. And so they're not, you know what they are? They're like Georgetown between like 2003 and 2006. They're like Georgetown for like...
That's a very specific reference that I don't think that Sam and I are going to immediately...
There's three listeners right now who are like, oh, right, Georgetown, 2003 to 06.
And then the other two listeners are like, what is going on?
Yeah, my family listening to this is like, oh, we're right, Georgetown. And then the other one listener, who is Sam, is like, that's totally not what it would have been like. But basically they just are a team that is making the big dance or the NIT as either a low seed in the former or a high seed in the latter. Just kind of not really setting the world on fire, but not like, you know, it's not like Columbia basketball. And they get bounced.
And then there's a joke that literally only we will get. So, good. This is good accessible radio that we're making.
Us, John Templin, Seth Davis, and Pete maybe Siani Chambers, wherever he is, and Pete Mangarin.
All right. So what's the upshot of what's the upshot of all this for some? Do you have other people around the NBA who are affected by this?
I do. I have the biggest winners in this being Carmelo Anthony and Allen Iverson, which is really great as someone who is huge fan of both of those two. It's a great era for guys with cornrows. It's a great era for guys who have been in Stop Snitching DVD videos. As the Nuggets make an NBA Finals appearance, that second Lakers dynasty never comes to fruition. And so this leads to George Karl and company making the NBA Finals against the Magic in 2009. And they actually win. I have them winning in seven games. It's not a ratings-friendly finals at all with Denver and Orlando playing. But Melo gets his first ring. Iverson gets his first ring after coming up short in 2001. And we still live in a world in which Dwight Howard does not have an NBA title. Oh, also, Brad Stevens is a big winner in this because on the NCAA side of things, all this essentially ended up being was Coach K taking a pretty lengthy sabbatical, which is great because, again, Duke isn't, like, totally fucked, but they're pretty defanged. And so all these recruiting squads that Coach K would have had, right, don't exist, of course. And I have Butler actually winning that NCAA title they had on. They actually almost won that anyway, which is I felt kind of sad because I couldn't figure out a way to recreate the timeline in a way that Gordon Hayward's last second heave against Duke goes in because I don't have Duke in the final game at all. But I do think that Butler still wins that first ever NCAA title, and Brad Stevens, unlike Coach K, is kind of viewed as the success story because he's later courted by the NBA and kind of is seen as the changing of the guard, if you will. Oh, and Chris Paul. Chris Paul makes the NBA Finals the year before the Nuggets did. He had the New Orleans-Boston series. New Orleans, that means, isn't the laughingstock that it was going into the 2010 offseason. I think that is they've enjoyed sustained success out West. The Chris Paul veto never happens because the Hornets aren't looking to deal him to the Lakers, which means, ironically enough, that we never record episode 2 of this podcast.
Mind blown.
Snake eating its own tail type thing.
Wait, was that episode 2 or was that, what was episode 1 of this podcast?
That was Kevin Durant to Portland.
Right.
The classic.
See, I feel like the only way to really make the, like, we've altered the timeline really stand out is if you could delete the first episode, because then that would delete the entire series, right? Like,
no, we just skip from 1 to 3. We're just like, fuck it, we're not going to have episode 2.
There's like
I object
a,
to something in your timeline that doesn't make sense because it's bad?
Besides the us skipping from 1 to 3.
Except for that, yeah. Your fake 2009 finals, which has Melo in it, also inexplicably. The Magic... The Magic were a good team. Good team. And they had four guys who could shoot and move without the ball. And you're expecting Melo and old Allen Iverson to stop them from getting to their spots on the floor. Rashard Lewis was all roided up. Hito Turkoglu raining threes. Courtney Lee, who is the reason that they lost that series, was a good shooter. Jameer Nelson. I'm definitely not just looking at their basketball reference page and naming the people on the team. But that team would have smoked the 2009 Nuggets, and I will stake my fake reputation for this week on that.
Here's the thing.
They beat the Cavs. LeBron had like a 40-point triple-double every game of that series, and they beat Cleveland.
Yeah, they did. Who was the next best player on that Cleveland team that they beat? Is it Mo Williams?
Big Z?
I was going to say Ilgauskas.
Is it Zydrunas Ilgauskas? That Magic team would have gotten through a pretty easy Eastern Conference. And yeah, they would have had to withstand like hellfire from LeBron. But a team with Chauncey Billups with the playoff and finals experience that he had, Iverson averaged 18 points a game that season. So he was, not the Allen Iverson of old, but like not very many people are the Allen Iverson of old. In fact, like, nobody is, because it's just him. And that team I had J.R. Smith too, and I'm not betting against any team that has J.R. Smith.
So I gotta say, I admire the reductive logic of no one is the Allen Iverson of old because no one is. That was a good line. I'm going to just because we have this bullshit thing, I'm going to overrule the objection, but note that because I think it's plausible that the Magic could have, that Denver could have beaten the Magic, but it's very close and Sam gets points for making his case. So, of course, the points don't matter, but just, you know, you have them, so good for you. And
would you
rather
take one-on-one Carmelo Anthony or Hedo Turkoglu? That's really what this comes down to.
Well, you take Hedo, right? Because he wears that T-shirt under his uniform that really doesn't.
Yeah, take Turk.
All right, I think that's all for Miles. I think that's all for
Miles. That is all for me.
All right, you rest your case, and now I would like Sam to do some arguing.
I'd love to, and I'm going to start off with the NBA side of things. Coach K leaves Duke, of course, after they make the Final Four and lose. And he joins the Lakers, who've just made the finals and lost. Here's what happens in the NBA. Coach K keeps the Lakers together. Part of the reason that Lakers team in 04-05 was so discombobulated and all over the place was because Rudy Tomjanovich, who took the job in real life, was suffering from cancer and had to resign halfway through the season. So that sort of left Kobe as the interim coach in name, if not in actual title, which was a disaster. And the team was bad enough that they ended up being able to draft Andrew Bynum in one of the last high school player drafts. So the team's a little bit better this year, so they don't get Bynum, but they end up with Danny Granger, who was rated about the same and helps fill a need at the small forward position. So the Lakers are able to follow a similar timeline in that the next year they're able to beat the Suns instead of losing to them in seven because they have more of a second option behind Kobe, and Kobe's not doing his ridiculous "I refuse to shoot the ball in game seven" crap. They're able to beat the Suns. They face the Clippers in an all-time great Los Angeles battle. I don't know if LA has ever had like a subway series or something like that, but they finally get it. In that the entire series is played in the same building. The Lakers win. They lose to Dallas in the Western Conference Finals.
You do realize that there's no public transit in Los Angeles, right? So
it's all in the same building, though. It doesn't matter.
Well, they'd have to come up with a different name for Subway Series. They just call it, like, the Staples Center Series. Or
the Biped Series.
the arena is split perfectly down the middle series.
It's great.
The go back home and come back 20 minutes later because it's still in the same place series.
Exactly.
It'd be like if the Mets played the Yankees in the World Series, but they like played it at the Garden, right? Like, wouldn't that be the equivalent?
It's like if the Giants and Jets had a 7-game series, and they had to spray paint the end zone different colors.
That sounds terrible.
They actually
so imagine watching the Giants and the Jets for 7 games.
Imagine watching the Jets for 1 game.
They have they have different like turf that they put in the end zone depending on who's playing at home, the Giants or the Jets. So they just rip it out, put new one in.
It's great.
Yo, also, how come more people don't talk about that Mets Yankees World Series?
Because people get extremely mad about the Yankees being good. And
that didn't the World Series also have the bat throwing thing?
It had the bat throwing, and that's probably the most memorable thing from that series. It was also like because they won. That's probably the least memorable two out of their World Series because like they beat Atlanta and there was like the All Century team and Pete Rose and Jim Gray got in a fight. San Diego with the grand slams and Scott Brosius and the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa first pitch thing, and beating Atlanta in 96 was a good series unto itself. And then 2000 is kind of forgettable, except for the bat throwing thing, and then the next year is one of the best World Series ever. So 2000 gets sort of lost in the mix, but I think 4 out of those 5 games were 1-run games, and the other one was a 2-run game. So Very competitive. Good stuff.
Sam loses points for this extended digression about the New York Yankees.
I was prompted. I was baited by my opposing counsel.
You have to not rise to the bait. That's the first lesson of court.
I'm not a good lawyer. Anyway, back to
keep going with the timeline. Basketball. Yeah.
So Coach K and Kobe realize they're not going to be able to get over the hump without a true second superstar. So if you do remember the summer that KG got dealt to Boston, the other teams that were going after him when he was on the Timberwolves were Miami and the Lakers. And in this scenario, the Lakers are going to be the one to swing the bat, baseball reference. And it's Coach K and Kobe pushing for them to pull the trigger on this deal. So they trade Granger, their second-year star, Lamar Odom, and Marc Gasol, who was a second-round pick, which is similar to the deal they ended up pulling for Powell, except obviously without Danny Granger. And so that allows the Lakers to get back to the level of their dynasty they had in real life. They do end up getting two rings with KG in 2008 and 2010, not 2009 when KG's knee blows up. But an important thing to note in this Lakers timeline, there is no 81-point game because Kobe actually respects Coach K as a coach and he has enough secondary talent around him that he's willing to not jack up enough shots to put up 81. It's also important that we get a Kobe-LeBron final, which we nearly got in 2009, but did not, thanks to the Magic, who was the really good team back then, the 2009 Magic. I don't know if that's been brought up at all.
I don't think it has, actually. That's weird.
So we get a real ratings windfall, even though LeBron's in Cleveland. It's also important to note in the NBA, there's no, and this is something very near and dear to my heart, there's no Kobe tape about Andrew Bynum, where those random dudes caught him in the parking lot. He was like, Andrew Bynum, ship his ass out, when people thought Kobe was going to demand a trade to the Bulls. And that was very important because that was one of the first like viral sports videos. And we all got to hear Kobe say the word ass, which was funny because he had a very weird pronunciation or I guess tone in his voice talking about Andrew Bynum. So there is no Kobe ship his ass out tape because Andrew Bynum's not on the Lakers. The Lakers get some rings. We get a Kobe LeBron finals. There is no KG on the Celtics. Everyone's pretty much happy with this outcome. Let's go to the NCAA. Johnny Dawkins takes over for Coach K as his heir, and he sucks because he wasn't that good of a coach at Stanford, and he's not going to be that good of a coach at fake Duke. But luckily for him, he inherits the J.J. Redick, Sheldon Williams recruiting class that Coach K had before he left that ended up getting a bunch of one seeds but never getting past the Sweet 16. So Duke ends up being like a mid-tier ACC team. They keep losing in the first weekend of the NCAAs. Dawkins ends up getting fired after 09 and replaced by Wojo because Duke has to hire Duke people for some reason. And so Wojo, as in real life with Marquette, has trouble recruiting the top talent, definitely has trouble recruiting one-and-done players. There's no Jahlil Okafor or Jabari Parker or anyone like that going to Duke. So he's replaced in 2016. When Coach K finally leaves the Lakers after Kobe retires and he comes back to Duke. Very moving, I'm coming home video, much better than the Melo one. Everyone's very excited to reunite. So Coach K is ready to take on a challenge of getting Duke their first championship since 2001. After he succeeded with the Lakers and sort of sees the writing on the wall with a big rebuilding project after Kobe retires. Some other miscellaneous sort of sidebar things. I think Coach K succeeding in the NBA would have been a really, really important milestone for college coaches coming to the league. Because up to that point, and obviously without him, you know, mostly until Brad Stevens started succeeding, there was a real sort of backlash about college coaches in the NBA because they failed so much, like Rick Pitino in Boston, Jerry Tarkanian with the Spurs. Who the Bulls have? Tim Floyd, after Phil left the first time. And they were really terrible. Like, Lon Kruger was the Hawks coach. It was sort of a disaster for college coaches, but I think Coach K jumping to the league and succeeding sort of opens the floodgates for all these college guys to head to the NBA and just make tons and tons of money. So, like, Billy Donovan doesn't turn down the Magic job the first time. Calipari gets a second chance, probably with the Knicks, because of course it's the Knicks, or maybe with the Nets a second time, something ridiculous like that. And of course, Brad Stevens gets another chance to go to the NBA as well. Like Miles, I think Butler wins a title, maybe even two, because Kyle Singler and the magical 2010 Duke graduating class isn't there to stop Gordon Hayward and Shelvin Mack from getting their ring. And because there would not be a basketball court without it.
Here we go.
The Lakers don't have Bynum and Gasol, which is important because they don't have two bigs. So there's really no reason for the Thunder in 2011 to trade for Kendrick Perkins and go big, which was basically the impetus for that deal. They needed someone who could defend in the post along with Serge Ibaka, who was more of a wing big man defender. So they don't trade for Kendrick Perkins, and they end up winning a title. And on top of that, there is no Harden trade because they have the money to re-sign James Harden because the Kendrick Perkins four-year extension never happens.
And damn.
Wow. Wow.
Any questions?
That's impressive.
Thank you, Coach K.
I was wondering how you were going to get that in there, but you did do it for sure.
Wonder no more, because it makes so much sense.
Well, I guess so. I mean, it is, you know, look, the thesis of basketball court is there's no other timeline in which the Thunder are championshipless. And you've continued to push that point, so more power to you.
Why would the Lakers, having had Garnett instead of Pau Gasol, essentially, why would that have meant that the Kendrick Perkins trade never happened?
Well, there's no Bynum. I mean, the real reason for that trade was they had been getting killed by the Lakers that year, the previous year in the playoffs, because they had Nenad Krstić as their center. And so Bynum and Gasol just killed them that series. They won the series even on a Gasol putback. And I got really upset and drunk around Columbia's campus when that happened. So there's no real need for them to get a pure post defender big, because they already have Ibaka and Nick Collison, the legend, to defend Garnett and...
I'm sorry, let me jump in here one more time. How much time, ballpark, do you think you spend wandering aimlessly after sports games?
It's weird because it's really just the Thunder at this point. Like, when the Devils
I agree with Miles, it feels like there's a scene in every episode where we imagine you stumbling around the Upper West Side, like... I could have. Why didn't they do it?
It was bad too, because freshman year when they were playing the Lakers, I watched all the games with friend of the podcast Andrew Leonard, who is a huge Lakers fan, obviously. And so, like, I would be, because people who know friends of Andrew Leonard and friends of the podcast both know he's a big Lakers fan. Shout out to Andrew Leonard. Anyway, so I'd be like cheering and being very happy, and he'd be very upset, and then vice versa. And then that game, the Thunder were like up for most of the fourth quarter. And then at the last possession, the Lakers were down by one, and Kobe missed a jumper, and Powell got a putback like at the buzzer to knock the Thunder out of the playoffs. And I was just like really upset, and he was cheering, and I had to like storm out of my own room because I was the only one on the floor with cable. So,
So you left your own room with the cable and the TV.
I got so mad I left my own room, and I walked around low steps, and I went to go get alcohol.
Nice.
It's just funny because, you know, some people, they get drunk and then they get mean or violent. You just get mad adventurous and start walking around.
I don't know about adventure. I was just like...
I prefer to think of it as contemplative. You know, what is the meaning of all this?
So I was like, I was very sure they were going to win that game and then lose in game seven in LA to get knocked out of the playoffs. And that would have been fine with that. But then like blowing a lead at home, shout out to KD having a bad fourth quarter, and then Powell getting the put back at the end, I was just sort of like mentally defeated. And I didn't really want to like be around other people that I knew. It was a rough night. It was a sort of like a like really eerie foreshadowing, but for like the next 6 years of Thunder basketball. But see, yeah, anyway, so Coach K goes to the Lakers and the Thunder win a title and re-sign James Harden.
See, I just don't remember this pass in which Kevin Durant played for the Thunder. I thought he's been a, you know, warrior for life, so
he's been a Blazer actually since episode one.
You know, that's right. The changes we make in each episode ripple into real life.
Except episode three, which didn't happen. Episode two. Damn it. Yeah.
Yes. Come. Oh, ruin the joke, as always.
I know.
Right. Well, this was good oral argument. You guys would have each gotten a... So, we don't use letter grades, so you'd each gotten a double H in my school.
What?
So, well done.
What is the double H?
So the law school at which I attend is there's like a curve in every class. So the top 10% get a double H, which is high honors. The next 30% gets an H, which is honors, and everyone else gets pass, unless you fail, which is just a fail. So there's fewer grades to fight over.
Do you think that has anything to do with the nickname of the famous wrestler Triple H?
Almost certainly. That's where it comes from. He got through 2 years and only had three H's at the end of it, and he was like, fuck it, I gotta go be a wrestler. This joke is very accessible for the subsection of people who listen to this podcast, go to Berkeley Law, and love Triple H. So
I thought you said the podcast is very popular on campus.
Well, you know, very is a relative term.
I'm going to go into work one day. Because I work at Berkeley a lot of the time. I'm going to go into work and then just blast it off of my computer, blast this episode, and just pick up some like free-range listeners that way.
That video I made of Lisa putting on basketball court when she gets to drive the car.
Yeah.
Since was inspired by me driving around Princeton, New Jersey with my windows down, listening to basketball court, and someone giving me a weird look as I was looking for parking.
You were listening to your own podcast as you were driving around?
I plead the fifth.
That's like some Kanye West shit.
That's hardcore. I like it. All right. I'm going to pick a winner and we will end the show. The winner is Sam.
God damn it.
Yes.
I think Sam did a good job this week. I think that,
Sam,
I guess I give him credit because I think he was right to challenge the Magic Nuggets series in miles. So he gets, so both he had a good, strong argument and he did a good job poking holes in Miles's. So congratulations, Sam.
Thank you. For my victory speech, I would like to dedicate this episode to the 2001 Duke basketball team and their semifinal of the ACC tournament against Maryland, where Nate James got a putback to break a tie game, and Duke beat Maryland and went to the ACC finals, because I remember that game very vividly. And I also rewatched a bunch of Duke games when Coach K was the coach. I mean, he has been the coach, but if he had not, he had left when he was the coach, like his last run at Duke. And because originally this episode was like going to be during March Madness, but then we all got jobs, so it didn't happen that way. So I watched a lot of Duke games and ended up being just completely a waste of everyone's time. So shout out to Duke basketball and YouTube and Russell Westbrook.
Well, that was even more incoherent than your average Academy Award speech. Well done. That'll do it for this week of Basketball Court. I'd like to say thank you to our council. You can find us on the internet. We have a website. It's, I think, basketballcourt.podomatic.com. We have a dope Facebook page. Just do a Google search for Basketball Court Podcast. If you found this podcast by clicking on a Google ad with Coach K's face that we ran like a month ago, that's cool. Shout out to Facebook for letting us do random targeted ads. That was fun. Did I tell you guys what the target that we set was? It was just it was like people in New York City who like basketball on Facebook. So
we're gonna run another one of those targeted ads. If you're hearing this, you may have already. That's how you may have gotten to this episode, by clicking on one of the targeted ads. And if not, just know that we did it anyway.
We promise radical transparency in how we run this production.
We're just gonna bombard you with advertisements until we become popular, like Zach Lowe.
Yeah, something like that. We can also be found on Twitter. It's at @BballCourtPod. You can tweet us random shit there, or be like, "Hey, you should do this thing next time." That'd be fun, because I feel like I at least am running out of ideas. I think Miles and Sam probably have enough ideas to power this this ship for the next 7 to 9 years. Of course, at that rate, we'll do about 15 episodes in that time. So,
sweet,
just gotta space it out. Make the people want more.
Well, we always have the element of surprise, because no one would have expected a March Madness episode in April.
That's true. Yeah. And it'll be weird when we drop our, we're going to drop our draft episode during the finals, so that'll make sense.
We should do that, though. We should talk about that later.
Oh, you know what we should do a lottery episode, right? Like ping pong balls for the lottery coming up. Shout out to Sixers winning the lottery this year. All right. Thank you very much, Miles.
You're welcome.
And thank you to our winner this evening, Sam.
Back in the win column. Back in the big day for me.
This is a big day for you. I'm proud of you,
buddy. Big day. In basketball court, I've been Judge Peter Andrews. Thank you for stopping in and enjoying the finest jurisprudence that the internet has to offer. The court's adjourned.